Man, that's just the devil trying to stop us, man. That means we're doing something good.
All right. Hey guys, we got a special guest today. We got Justin Jobs here.
Special guest. And I'm in like 90% of your videos, man.
Right.
Nothing special about me.
It's just a turtleneck, man. I had to do that so everybody know. All right, so yeah, guys, I'm about to hit you guys with another video. I'm Sean Christopher Jenkins. This is my guy, Justin Lee Howell. We go live every week, try to do two videos a week. Probably just going to hit you guys with one a day, right? And then we'll see when we can get another one. And we both got a lot going on. But as you guys already know, my YouTube channel, me and Justin, we do a whole lot on there. So my YouTube channel is Uplift Past Crossroads, right? And if you... I know you're going to love this video, so after you love this video, you know, just make sure to scroll down. You can see all the podcasts and all the videos that I do with everybody on my YouTube channel right here. So Justin's playlist is right here, so you can watch all the videos that me and Justin have done together. But also on my YouTube channel, I started a new playlist. It's titled, like, Book Breakdowns or Book Reviews. So this is where me and Justin takes a book that I've been studying or he was studying, you know, whoever else does a video with me. And we just break down stuff that we learned from that book. And then also I started another playlist, you know, called Seminary School. So everything that I learned from seminary school, I'm the type of person, I share everything that I learned just because it means that much to me, right? So one of the books that I'm reading in seminary school right now at Colgate Rochester Cozer Divinity School in Rochester, New York. I'm doing it remotely from Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm doing it online. But one of the books I'm reading is The Old Testament for a Complex World. How the Bible's Dynamic Testimony Points to a New Life for the Church. It's by, this is a woman, by the way, Justin, Cameron B.R. Howard. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that got me too, the Cameron part. So I'm going to read an excerpt of the book. All right. So it's a section at the very beginning of the book, page 14 and 15, that really caught my attention. Right. And so with the excerpt I'm about to read, basically with the book, it's just talking about the class I'm taking in seminary right now. The first class I took was Introduction to the Old Testament and the Hebrew Bible, right? So in this book specifically, it's just talking about how the Bible came about and came into being, specifically in the Old Testament, right? And so it just gives us like a whole synopsis of like all the different things of how the Old Testament was compiled, but then also some misconceptions we have, like, because most people preach the New Testament, most people are focused on the New Testament, and most people really don't really see the relevancy of the Old Testament. But that's the whole point. Like, the Bible was created for the people of their day, right? So it was applicable for the people of their day. So the writers who wrote the Old Testament and the New were in the times, in the now, and knew the trends and knew the fabs, and they really understood people, right? And so they made the Bible and what they wrote relevant to their age. So that's what we have to do when we're taking the scripture. Like, the scripture is not just limited to a certain time period. A lot of people do that with the Bible. That's another misconception. They try to take the Bible and say, oh, it's out of date. You know, it's an outdated book. It's archaic. Like, just, it has no relevancy for today. But that's not true. The Bible's living, it's active. It can be used in any time period, in any age, because it's living, right? So that's another thing a lot of people don't think about. So yeah, so it's a lot. So this book hits a lot of things. But one of the things that it hits was, I titled this video, When a Believer and the Spirit Both Collide, right? I titled it something like that.
That's a good title. I like that title.
Yeah, so I'm going to read
impactful.
Go ahead, Justin.
I was just saying it's impactful. I like it.
Yeah,
like on a collision course with the scripture.
Right. Yeah. So we're about to go in, guys. It's about to be crazy. Hopefully I'm a little tired because I work third shift now, a security job I just took on. So like I need sleep, but like I just have to get this video out the way with Justin. All right. So, yeah, before I start reading this, like the paragraph before the section that we're focusing in on for this video, I was just talking about how, like, you know, as a reader of the Bible, we can't in seminary school, we're taught to be critical analyst of what we read. But like a lot of people think of like critical analyst as a bad thing, but that's just really when you exegete the text. So exegete just means to break down to draw out, draw meaning from, to lock inside the configuration of words or phrases you see on a page. And so also exegeting in the text means mining the text. That's what you're doing. You're mining the data, the words that you're seeing, and putting it through whatever filter. So whatever time period, whatever age, whatever chapter in the Bible, whatever setting that that book of the Bible is specifically talking about, because every book of the Bible is in a different time, really, covering a different genre of people, different group of life. There's a lot of things. It's a lot of factors. So like, it's really complex. That's why the title of the books, you know, the Old Testament for a Complex World, right? So that's the book. Let's go ahead and read it, man. So yeah, that was a huge intro. Y'all didn't need all that, but let's get it to it. All right. So Cameron B.R. Howard, she said this on page 14. She said, I propose that instead of conceptualizing interpretation as excavation, so instead of taking it as, you know, instead of reading the Bible as excavating, like excavators on like a museum or like, you know what I'm trying to say, people to excavate stuff, archaeologists, that's the word I'm looking for. All right, so I propose that instead of conceptualizing interpretation as excavation, we think of every encounter between text and reader as an atomic particle collision. Atoms, so-called building blocks of matter, are in constant motion. The more energized they are, for example, by being heated, the faster they move. They can combine with each other to form new molecules, as when two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen combine to form water molecule, H2O. In every chemical reaction, electrons are rearranged and there's a transfer of energy, so that energy is either realized or absorbed. In nuclear reaction, an atom's nucleus is changed and even large amount of energy is released. Atomic particles, specifically electrons and protons, are carried from the sun in a strong solar wind to the Earth's magnetic field, where they meet molecules of oxygen and nitrogen. The collisions release photons, light energy, in various colors depending on molecules involved. We see the results of the collisions in the beauty. All right, so I'm gonna stop there. Justin, I'll let you take over when you're ready. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and I kind of want to like to, I guess like I want to like get a good image of how dynamic this suggestion is. I really like that because in a lot of physics experiments or high energy particle experiments, like they try to collide particles. Like the most famous one is probably like the Large Hadron Collider in where is that? It's like in Switzerland, I think, or Sweden. No, it's in Switzerland. But like they do that because like they can't observe the particles. Like this author is saying like this is more than excavation. The same with particles. We can't observe particles because we need light particles to observe it, and any light particles will interfere with it. It's like a catch-22. So what they do is they collide these in like high energy experiments, and then they observe like the collision, they observe the explosion, they observe like the energy that comes from it. So it's like a very dynamic relationship. And it's so they can like dig deeper into an atom. We think atoms are the building blocks of everything, but that's actually a misconception. Atoms are like the smallest naturally occurring things. Like you have molecules, and even smaller than that, you have individual atoms. But they're actually like subatomic particles called like quarks that are inside these atoms, and we have to like collide them in order to dig further, in order to experiment or figure out more about them. So that's what this author is suggesting, is that we need a dynamic relationship in order to discover what are the building blocks. Like what's even smaller than the building blocks that make up the Bible?
Mm. Justin, I didn't know you were going to go that deep, man.
Okay. You asked me like, hey, are you ready for this atomic collision thing? I'm going like, yeah, I think I can pull some stuff from my college days.
I had so much doubt.
That's what you're looking for.
Yes, I was. I had so much doubt like how this was going to come out. I was like, I wonder how much of a scientist Justin really is. Like, can he go there? Like, because I needed help. Now I got it. So like, you said something powerful. You said that you got molecules, right? So mm-hmm. molecules are bigger than atoms, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you got everything. They say everything is made of atoms, right? Everything that takes space is made of atoms. So a dog, the sun, us, anything is an atom that you see, right? Even a rubber ducky, right? A toy. If it takes up space.
Yeah, everything is, even light. Like the passage that you read, even light is made up of like those tiny subatomic particles.
I didn't get that part when she talked about the light part. Like, I didn't even include that because I didn't understand that part. Like, I should totally write it so you can like break it down. She said something about like the aura borealis, the northern lights.
Aurora borealis. Yeah, the northern lights.
Yeah, you know what that is? I didn't.
Yeah, that's the if you go up far north enough, you can actually see it in the U.S. too, like in Michigan or Wisconsin. But it's most commonly seen in more northern countries like Canada, Iceland, Switzerland. But the aurora borealis is just like the northern lights. It's like the most common ones are like these beautiful green and blue colors, like off in the sky. Oh, did you pull a picture of it?
I'm putting this on the slide. Just keep on talking. I know you got other stuff, man. Let me do this real quick.
Yeah, but like, yeah, even like, even like the energy that's coming off of it is like made of these subatomic photons, and it's pretty much just like energy that's being released. But it's like the thing about it is like we see like the northern lights, we see the after effect of like the photons and the lights that's coming off, but like it's hard to actually observe the actual atoms and the molecules behind the effect. That's why we need all these crazy experiments. We either need like all these crazy equations, we need like crazy equations like particle colliders to just like ram the atoms together, see the effects, see the light, see the explosions that happen. And that lets us like dig deeper to like understand it more.
So without what you just said, without going deeper and without like, I guess you need telescopes to see this. Can you see this just microscope by looking at it?
Oh, the northern lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just see that from, if the sky conditions are just right, like on a clear day, yeah, you can just see it in the sky.
Guys, look at this. Look at this, man. Do y'all see this? This is so pretty, man.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they look
yeah,
like.
That's like energy and photons coming off of atoms.
This is so dope, man. All right, okay, let's go back. I'm going to go back to what we just read. So she was saying, like, earlier in this passage in the book, to start off the book, she was saying, like, you know, reading the Bible is an excavation. Like, you're trying to look for treasure, right? You're trying to see what's in there. So you're extracting things. You're exploring. You're on a scavenger hunt. That's what I'm looking for, a scavenger hunt. And so you're trying to glean something from every single verse, every single chapter in the Bible, every single book of the Bible, right? But she said, instead of like looking at the Bible like that, right, interpreting scripture like that, she said, we think of every encounter between text and reader as an atomic particle collision, right? So that's so powerful. I don't even get the rest of it. But like, just what Justin said, like, that's the focus of the video. Like, when we're reading scriptures and when we're studying the Bible, when we come to the Bible, we got to understand that there's something deeper behind what's happening, right? Like, it's an atomic particle collision that's about to occur. And it can occur in a negative way, or it can occur in a positive way, right? And so, dang, I wish I would have said something like after you said the very first thing you said, Justin, like when you first started talking when the video started. Because you said something I wanted to like hone in on, two things. I probably should have wrote it down. Like, I could probably talk about what you just talked about now, but like, yeah, describe Northern Lights again. Like, because the author was saying, dang, I wanted to write that down. I'll just read it. But the author was saying, with that same passage, I excluded it, but she said the aurora borealis, whatever that's called, like Justin said.
Aurora borealis.
All right, so that thing. Or Northern Lights is a popular example of this phenomenon. So it's a popular example of what she was talking about. Like, this is what it looks like. when we understand scripture, like when we fully grasp and comprehend and collide in the right way with the Spirit. So the reader, the believer with the Spirit, and what the Spirit is trying to tell the believer through a Bible text, right? It's going to look just like this. It's going to look this beautiful. The revelation that you get, the insight that you get, the guidance that you get to apply to your life, to change your life forever. Like, this is what me and Justin be doing on YouTube all the time. Like, it should be like a northern light. And then she said, I excluded it from the last part, but I should have put it. Like, she said, we see the results of those collisions in the beauty of the northern lights. So that's what she was saying. So I didn't, Justin, did you want to break down this anymore? Or you feel like you did a good job with that? Like, the electrons and particles, like you said something I wanted to pull out with you.
I will say one thing about the Aurora Borealis is like, it is like, man, I can't express like how, I'm not sure if this is where the author wanted to go, but like, man, particle collision is like, it's not like a static thing. It's like so dynamic, even with the Aurora Borealis. Like, it's due to, and I wish I knew the science more, but it's due to like a disturbance in like the particles that are going through our atmosphere. It's like, it's not just light that's passing through. It's like light that's being disturbed to like give us this beautiful imagery. So it's like these high energy particle things. And it's like, you can't get it without like shaking things up a little bit. Same thing with like the particle collision. You can't get it with like, without like a little bit of like high energy experimentation. And I think that's the same with like texts, because I had a lot of friends who said who went to seminary, said like they had some students who were atheists who went to like go study the Bible more, and like they only went there to study as a historical text. So they were just like reading the text to try to experience it at face value. But to like really experience the spirit of it, like you really have to like not just dig into it, but like take control of it, like really like own it. Like it's not a static reading, like it's alive. It's a very dynamic relationship.
You know what I mean? Like, you must really abide in it. You must really like become one with the text. You must really like, it's more than studying too. It's like, and by the way, your video's gone, so you got to click on the link. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, man. I said I just lost connection. You can at least still hear me, but yeah, you keep going. I'll figure this out. That's all I wanted to say for this one.
Okay, but yeah, you were saying like without shaking things up, so without high experiment, like that's what we have to do. Like the Bible says, you know, study to show yourself approved, a workman that's without blemish, you know, without fraud, anything like that, right? So like when it comes to the Bible, like to make sure that everything that we're reading, we're not just reading. Like the Bible says, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of it. Like a lot of people think, you know, I can just hear the Bible and hear the good news and that's enough. Like, no, like you got to apply it, you know, practice what you preach, right? Like we're called to be light of the world. Like the collision that we saw, like what we see is what we should be, right? What we're reading is what we should become. Like some people are never going to read the Bible. Some people are never going to go to church or anything like that. So like you're the only Bible people are going to read. So like when they come across you and come in connection with you, you get what I'm saying? When they're in your vicinity and just see your life and talk to you or like interact with you, this is what they should be seeing, right? It should be a collision course going on, right? Justin, you want to talk about the collision course a little bit, but yeah, that's why I titled the video, you know, when a believer and the spirit both collide together. Like it could collide in a great way or in a bad way. Like it could be collision, calamity. Like if you don't agree with the scriptures, man, and apply it to your life, your life's not going to look the way that God intended it to look. Right. And it kind
of want to share while you're saying that, I do want to share one verse that I think will relates to this. Like in Acts 17:11, it says, Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. It's like what you were saying, like they take like this ownership of the scripture. Like they're not naive which I thought was pretty cool. They don't just take it at face value, but they actually see if it like works. And they saw like what Paul was saying was true. So it's like they had this relationship with the scripture and tried to see how it applied to their lives, which I really liked.
Right. Yeah. And that's another thing too. Like that's what she was saying throughout her book. Like she was saying, like when it comes to not just the reader, but the writers that already had that atomic particle collision, because like they wrote they were writing the text. The spirit was talking to them. So like there was already a collision going there already. Then they already knew the culture and the time that they were speaking to. They knew that what God wanted to say to that culture, to that generation, and to future generations after that. So like there's a collision course going on. So like this is what the writer says, like finishing what we were reading. Like she said, in this analogy, readers and texts are both atomic particles. Like a solar wind, the Holy Spirit energizes the encounter between text and reader. Every encounter thus has the potential to form a new molecule of interpretation, releasing energy as light and beauty. Right? You're the light of the world, right? You're the salt of the world. Salt is energy, man. Like, I don't care what nobody says. Like, salt gives off energy. Like, salt does stuff, man. Like, I did a Bible studies with that, with my life groups. Like, salt has 14,000 different functionalities. You get what I'm saying? Functions on this earth, right? So, like, salt, if it goes on a wound on your body, it stings. You feel it, even if it's the tiniest of wounds. Even if it's a wound you can't see that's visible. If salt hits your skin, it's going to hurt. You're going to feel it, right? That's what happens when a believer comes into contact with an unbeliever, right? That tension's there. The conviction's there. You don't have to say anything. Salt is silent. Salt don't have to make no noise. Everybody think you got to talk, try to reach people to evangelize. No, you don't. Your life is a sermon. Your life is a message, right? Especially if you're being obedient and doing what God called you to do and you're living according to his will for your life specifically. And you guys get what I'm saying? So like, yeah, just that collision alone is releasing energy, right? So like, if we're interpreting scriptures the right way, it's going to release energy. Everything in our lives, if we're doing it for God, it's going to release energy, right? It has the potential to release energy and come off as beautiful, right? So that's the question. Is that encounter happening with you in the scripture, in your life? Because it all goes together. Text, the reader, the life, right? So what is it saying for you? So like, and the Holy Spirit dictates all that. So how is the Holy Spirit guiding and energizing you when it comes to what you're reading? Because if he's not doing that with what you're reading, you're just reading it. That's another thing too, guys. Like before I was saved, I used to read the Bible and be like, yeah, I don't do that. Yeah, I don't do that, man. I'm so perfect, man. Like I'm not a sinner. Like, anytime a pastor said that, especially my dad, he's a pastor. Anytime he said, yeah, we're all sinners. We're all jacked up. We need Jesus. Like I was like, well, I ain't never made a mistake like that. Like I'm not a sinner like y'all. Like y'all crazy. But then like the day I got saved, Saturday, September 4th, 2010, I made a New Year's resolution in the year 2010 to read my Bible every year, right? I mean, every day that year. So I read my Bible for 8 to 13 hours a day in the year 2010. I just read my Bible, read Christian books, listened to sermons nonstop. So I'm a product of that now. You can tell, right? It's years of doing that. Same amount of time every single day. And like, my life changed on Saturday, September 4th, 2010. On that day, like when I read the scripture that day after my encounter on the Damascus Road, it wasn't me reading scripture anymore. It was the Spirit reading scripture through me, for me, and saying what he was trying to say and interpreting what he was trying to say through the text. So before it was just me trying to interpret the text. Now it's the Spirit guiding me, telling me what he's trying to say. So when I read the Bible that night, man, I said, man, I do that. Oh, I do that too. Oh, man, I am a sinner. I need Jesus, and I need him bad every single day. And it's been like that ever since. So like the Holy Spirit energizes the encounter between text and reader. So like the question is that happening with you? So when the Spirit and the believer both collide in the right way, man, it's going to come off and everybody's going to see the fruit. Everybody's going to see the beauty. Everybody's going to see, man, like the apple. They're going to see God, right? That's what the Holy Spirit is. So anybody who reads the Bible and say, man, I don't see the Spirit in it. It's just an archaic old book. you missing out, man. You ain't letting the Spirit read it to you. You ain't letting God say what he has to say through the text. Like some people say, like, oh man, men wrote the Bible, man. Then, you know, the Bible's so patriarchal. Like, you know, there's so many cons with the Bible, right? But like they miss seeing, there's a saying, everybody says, I love old sayings so much, but it says, the one saying says, you know, eat the meat, throw away the bones, right? That is so powerful. Eat the meat, throw away the bones. And that's what everything in life, like even with some of the stuff I say or what anybody says, I mean, you're not going to agree with what everybody says. Like we should agree with everything that God says. So that's another thing, another discussion. But when it comes to what everybody else is saying, we can all glean something from somebody else. We can all learn something from somebody else. So we can eat the meat that they give us, but we don't have to eat the bones. We're going to choke on that anyway. So like just throw it away. Right. So like that's what we have to do a lot of times when it comes to the Bible, like the way it came into being. Like, yeah, it's the it can, if you learn stuff like that, it can cost you a lot of it costs you to stumble and cause a lot of problems and tension. But like the Spirit changes the whole ball game, right? God changes the whole equation when you have that, right? So just I'll let you say something, man, before I read the other parts.
You see my video all right?
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I think like a big part before I go into like the spirit of it as well, I do want to like say the importance of like knowing the context of what was written in the Bible as well. Because man, it's, if you think about it from the Old Testament, and I'm sure like your book mentions this as well, like, and you've said it as well, like, men did write this and they were ingrained into like different cultures, which I think is an amazing part of the Bible. It's like you have like all these different cultures still point to one thing and point to God and point to Jesus if you dig far enough. But you do see a lot of things that don't make sense unless like you know the culture or the context of the scripture. I think it's always, and Sean and me on this channel, we will always like try to understand like where's the author coming from, like what is the context that they have for something. And I think like I was reading Daniel chapter 7 with my church this past week, and it's confusing. It's about all these post-apocalyptic scripture or these prophecies of like beasts and everything. It like makes no sense, really. You really have to like understand like what was the time and place Daniel was writing this, or what are like some common Hebrew or Greek or Roman traditions that kind of integrated themselves. Because like even though the word is God breathed and God influenced, and it was written by men from a certain culture, so we have to understand like what their culture was about. That's not to say like the Bible is like behind the times or is tied to a certain culture. If anything, I think that's more of a testament that the Bible is timeless, that it's able to surpass like all these cultures in order to give us a message. But I think it is very important for like understanding, or for like going on that collision course, to like know where the author is coming from. I'm going to contradict myself a little bit later, but I'll wait. But like that's I think that's very important, so we don't get stuck with our version of the Bible or what we want. Because I think a lot of times, and we're going to jump to the New Testament, I think a lot of times we put Jesus in a box by like seeing him as like a counselor or a healer or like a guru. And it's like a lot of times people say, oh, my Jesus would like never do this. And we really do kind of give a personification for like how we see Jesus or how we interpret the text. And that's not a bad thing that we interpret text differently, but a lot of times we do miss out on like what the scripture is trying to tell us, or the full extent of who Jesus was. Like in Daniel 7, I'm jumping around a lot, I know. Like, one thing I noticed is like we focus on like the mercy and the love of Jesus, which is absolutely true. But like, go back to Isaiah and like the book of Daniel, and you see the prophecies of Jesus. You have to realize as well, like, he was a big entity of like justice and order, and he's coming back to like save us, but he's also coming back to bring justice to the world as well. Like, he is a very powerful ruler, and that's just an example of like how we can pick and choose scripture without like taking it as a whole or without really understanding like where the author is coming from. So I feel like that's a big part of like really getting the most out of our collision course with the scriptures, if we like understand the scripture more from like where it's being written.
Yeah. And that was what she wrote, man. She was just saying like that should be the goal. But so many people, when they read the Bible, the first thing they do is like, I know what this text is saying. I already got my preconceived notions about what this text is, right? And just doing that makes you collide with the spirit and makes it, you won't get the energy that you should be getting. You won't get the experience and won't have the releasing energy experience, you know, the particle, atomic particle collision experience that the Holy Spirit and God wants you to have when you read the Bible, if you do that, right? Like, we got to come without any preconceived notions, without any opinions, without any biases, like when we're reading the Bible, reading and interpreting scripture, especially the Old Testament, like, because, like, I mean, Old Testament is real controversial, man. Like, you read about, we were talking about it in class, like, when my teacher, he brought up, we were in the book of Deuteronomy covering that book, and he just brought up how God said, you know, kill the Canaanites, which I have people do that all the time online on my social media pages, like agnostics and people who don't believe the Bible at all that like to mock it. They'll use like that scripture verse, like, this is your God, the one that says kill the woman, kill the children, kill the Canaanites, like, that's your God, right? But you got to understand, why would God even say that? Like, you know, what's the text? What's the context behind it? What's the setting? Why would he even say that about the Canaanites? Do you know anything about the Canaanites? Do you know what they did to the Israelites? Right? Like, do you know? And it's not even just what they did to the Israelites, just what they did in general. Right? And the Canaanites were seven nations. Right? It's the land of Canaan. Right? It was other nations there. So the Jebusites, Hittites, Amorites, there was a lot of them, like, you know, the Pezorites, all the Ikes, right? And they all gave the Israelites, God's children, trouble, right? And not just that, like, I'll give you one example, just because we're there, right? Like, so this is just knowing the setting, like, getting this to understand, you know, you gotta get the whole story, right, in order to understand the story. You gotta really, yeah, like she was saying, man, you got to really, like Justin was saying, you don't just dig, you got to own the text. You got to own the story. You got to really figure out and experiment. That's what Justin said. He said, shake the text, shake things up, right? Like, what, you got to really test yourself, test the spirit, test the gospel, what it's saying. Like, how many people really do that though? Like, you know what I mean? Like he said, what? Yeah, without shaking things, without high experimenting, you can't really interpret scripture. Like, he was saying that when it comes to the Northern Lights. Like, you can't see the beauty of the Northern Lights, right, Justin? That's what you were saying. You can't see the beauty of the Northern Lights unless you experiment. You go further and you really try to see it. Like, yeah, you could probably see it. But I know, can you even see it like this, Justin? Or you can't see it like this, but it's still, the particles do that collision.
You can see it like that with your naked eye, but like I'm talking about like how the light comes about is because like disturbances in the electromagnetic field. I'm not gonna throw out a bunch of sciencey terms, but
you should,
yeah, it's like
you should. Today's the day, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. This finally, it's my time to shine. But it's like, yeah, it's like it, and Jesus shook things up too. Without like, it, I don't know. Jesus's life is like really interesting. And I think it's his life is actually a good example of how we should approach that scripture, because like what the Pharisees did is like they took the scripture and hollowed it out. They made it into legalistic rules. It was like devoid of any light. It was devoid of any life. But like Jesus shook things up without like burning things down. I feel like a lot of times even today's culture, if we try to shake things up, it's just like it's an uncontrolled fire. Like a lot of people who read scripture about the Messiah thought Jesus was going to be this warlord who would tear down the Roman Empire and like build things back up. But no, that's not how Jesus approached the scripture. He shook things up, not in like an inferno like people thought, but like with a beautiful light that brought life to people. And I think that's hard nowadays. I don't think people understand like how hard that really is, because like, I don't know, we always have an agenda. We always take things the way we want and try to twist them. But like, that's not how we have like a light-giving scripture. Like, we have to like dig deep and shake things up like Jesus to bring light to other people.
Oh no. Hey, you're mute real quick. Can y'all hear him? Justin, time out. Justin. Okay, we can't hear you for some reason. Can you hear me? Oh, this sucks, guys. So, like, this has been happening a lot. So, yeah. I'm going to call you again, Justin. Let's see if it works. I got to make sure you guys can still hear me, too, man. That sucks. Like, it's just been happening a lot since we've been trying to go live. And we were hoping it didn't happen while we were live. It just happens sometimes. All right, Justin, I'm going to try calling you, man.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now, man. Sorry about that,
man. Man, sorry, man. I don't know why that's happening. Can you see me?
Yeah. Well, we can't see you. It's the black screen. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out where you were at. You remember where you were?
Oh, I'm trying to think of the last thing I was saying. I know I was comparing Jesus.
Yeah, start with Jesus again. And the Pharisees. Like, that's what we heard.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll just edit out that that blackout. But yeah, it's like Jesus is a great example, because like he was placed against a background of like the Pharisees and people who took the scripture and like hollowed them out. Like, it was like the bare minimum. It was like no light, no life to it. What's that insult Jesus always gave? It was like
whitewash tombs. Oh, dang it. You went out again. That's it. Let me, I'm going to pull you up right here. I know I can unmute you here. And let's see. Start talking. Ah, dang it. No, that ain't work. I mean, yeah. Unjoin and join back. We'll just use this video. We'll use this. I think we're trying too much right now. Let me see what else I can do. Fix this. Oh, it worked, Justin. It worked. Can you hear me? Justin. My friend.
Why?
Just talk. Justin.
Oh, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. If you can hear me. So I'm not sure if you can.
Yeah, we can.
I'll just keep talking, see what happens.
Yeah.
I do like how Jesus was put against a backdrop of, like, against the Pharisees and these people who like hollowed out the scripture. It was like devoid of life, devoid of light. But like a lot of like Jesus shook things up without like tearing anything down, which is amazing to me. Because like people who read the scripture about the Messiah were like, they thought Jesus would like come and take down the Roman Empire, or like in this big inferno. But the dangerous part about starting a fire.
Dang it. This is awful, guys. Technology sucks. I should probably stop the live just so. Yeah. Can you start where you were?
Like, can you hear me?
Yeah, because we got the whitewashed tomb part. So, like.
Just, oh, okay, man. Okay, let me get through this quick so I can at least get my thought done. Like, I don't know. Jesus was amazing to me in this aspect because, like, when a lot of people, like, a lot of people then knew, like, the term Son of Man from the scripture of Daniel, or they, like, they knew about the Messiah. So a lot of people thought he was going to, like, come in this inferno and tear down the Roman Empire and free God's people. But, like, that's not what happened. Like, he shook things up without, like, tearing anything down, which is amazing to me. Because a lot of times when you start a fire that you can't control, like, everything gets burned. And that's not what Jesus was trying to do. He wasn't trying to burn the world. He's just trying to bring the light that comes from it. Mm-hmm. And that surprised a lot of people. But, like, that allowed him to, like, that just allowed the scripture to, like, take on more life by, I'm trying to think of everything I said, just by, like, meeting, like, surpassing people's expectations by Jesus, like, bringing a new light to things. A lot of times, like, we try to take the scripture, we'll, like, hollow it out, or we'll pick and choose what we want, or we'll weaponize it, or, like, use it for our own agendas. Like, I'm sure I do that, too. Like, I'm sure I'll quote a Bible verse out of context. But, like, Jesus, he knew the real reason behind scripture. He was able to bring a light from it by challenging how people thought about it. Like, he was able to shake things up. Not with, like, explosions or an inferno, but he shook things up to, like, excite the particles that were in. Like, that's what energy is, actually. It's, like, excited particles trying to release their energy. Like, that's what gives us, like, the beautiful lights, the disturbances in the night skies, the solar winds. Gosh, I forgot what the original question was. We had so many technical difficulties. I started talking, and I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. But, like, I think that's important for us to know is, like, what does it mean to shake things up? Does it mean to, like, purposely, like, rile someone up? No, it's like to bring excitement to the scripture, bring excitement to the things that Jesus was talking about. Because as Sean said, like, sometimes we're the only Jesus people will see. Like, are they going to see a blazing inferno that just, like, causes conflicts, or are they going to see, like, the light of the kingdom, the salt of the earth?
Right.
I do want to say that. And this is kind of going 180 a little bit, but I'm not sure if I completely agree with everything, like, the author says as well, just because, and maybe it's because I haven't read the whole book, they do want us to, like, do more than excavate or the scripture. They want us to, like, collide with the scripture to find out what was the author trying to say, or what's, like, the deeper meaning behind it. And I think there is always a deeper meaning that the author intends, but we've said before, like, the scripture is alive, so it's not going to have the same meaning to everybody. And I think that's good. That shows how timeless the scripture is. Like, even the authors probably could not comprehend how many civilizations or centuries, like, this is going to endure. And I think that is something special. Like, there's a good balance somewhere in there. We already said, like, sometimes people will take their own meaning and run with it, which can be dangerous. But it's also a beautiful thing. It is like playing with, just to continue the analogy of fire, it is like playing with fire. It can be very life-giving. It can give us different perspectives and meaning that we never would have comprehended, that the author wouldn't have comprehended. But it can also be a very dangerous thing if we lose control of it, like, we lose the original meaning or the context of that scripture. So it's, I don't know, it's such a beautiful but dangerous balance.
Yeah. That's, I don't know if she said it, I think it was in another book. I'm reading another book. I don't have all my books with me. But yeah,
I like to have a pile of books behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
Scripture reading.
Right. it is a lot of books, man. I just know it's by Wilma Gaffney. If I look it up, I'll find it. But in her book, she was talking about how she kind of said it too. That's what she was going at. I haven't read all the book, but I know she's gonna say the same thing. But basically, like, the Bible is innovative. Like, we have to be innovative. Like, a lot of people preach the same daggone message. And like they'll look at the text and preach the same messages. Like, the same message that's always been heard. Like, and the Bible is not limited. It can't be restricted. Like, it's not just one thing. Like, you can read one text and get a lot from one text, get a lot of different messages from one, just one verse, right? So, like, we have to innovate the Bible to our time period. So some people are preaching still back in 1920s, in the 1950s, in the 1980s, and they have never moved past that time period. So, like, you can't reach the new generation if you stay preaching in that time period. Like, some people are still in Jesus' day talking, right? But you got to be with the, in a way, you have to be with the times a little bit. You have to make the Bible relevant. You have to make the Bible applicable to everybody, right? Because it is, right? You have to figure out what innovative way is the scripture moving towards in our day, because it's moving. It's living, it's active. So trying to, like, it's kind of like this. Like, it's actually a video I was going to do. Yeah, we should probably do it next, Justin, because, yeah, it is from that book. I'll go get it in a second when you say something. But one analogy I use is like, I invest in a stock market. Justin does too. So, like, imagine if we got all of our investing advice from newspapers in the 1950s. And then we're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to invest in Coca-Cola. I'm going to invest in, like, some 1950 companies. Like, majority of those companies do not exist, if not 99.9% of them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Coca-Cola exists, but everything else does not exist. So, like, me trying to get my, like, yeah, my investing strategies and advice from newspapers in the 1950s, in 2023, that's stupid. That's what a lot of people do with the Bible. Like, and like with the sermons that they preach and the way that they interpret scripture, like, they stay too far back. You know what I mean? Like, they just stay there. Like, bro, you got to apply the scripture too. You know what I mean? You got to make it applicable to your life too. Like, it's not just, you can't just be stagnant. You know what I mean? It has to be alive and active. It has to be doing something, right? And so that just goes with what the author was saying. So I'm going to read the next part, what she said. Justin, you got anything before I move on? Or you want me to keep going?
No, not right now, no.
All right, I'm going to read this next part, and I'm going to just say what you want to say. I'm going to read the next two parts. Tell me which one you want to talk about. All right, so she said this also on page 15. She said, the notion of biblical interpretation as an atomic particle collision is compelling to me because it emphasizes the explosive, transformative potential of reading scripture. So, yeah, we pretty much said that. And then she said, every encounter between text and reader is full of energy. This is not, or at least it need not be, an explosion that destroys, but rather a generative, life-giving burst.
Oh, yes. That second slide was exactly what I was talking about with Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times we think of, like, and we were talking about this before. Do you have anything you wanted to say?
I want you to say it. I'm going to go get my books real quick.
Okay. Like, before the video, Sean and I were talking about, like, the title of this. And, like, we wanted to use the word collision. And, like, sometimes you think a collision is, like, a bad thing. But really, when you're in a collision course with something, that means, like, you're, like, ready for something big. Or you're about to reach your fate or destiny or whatever you want to call it. So, man, I wish he had left that slide open before he left. But, like, it's, it is supposed to be, like, life-giving, like Jesus did. Like I said, Jesus didn't come to, like, condemn or burn the world down or, like, even overthrow the Roman Empire. He came as a life-giving source, like, to give hope and beauty, like the aurora borealis, like the northern lights, to really show the beauty and the energy of the scripture. Like, he did come to, like, bring order and justice out of like the chaos we have around this world. But like, he did that in a way that really showed off the beauty of everything too. Yeah, man, I'm so happy you had this slide, because that's exactly how I feel like with how Jesus represented the text. He didn't come to like burn anything down. Like, that's what we think about when we think about collisions. But like, the thing with the Large Hadron Collider that we were talking about at the beginning is like, they don't do that just to smash atoms or smash particles for the fun of it. They do that for like knowledge and to see, test out experiments, or to see the beauty that's inside the atoms. It's not just about destruction. It's about understanding creation.
Mm. Yeah, she said every encounter. So every time you open your Bible, every time you listen to a sermon, every time you are even at church and you're hearing a message about God, or even the scripture, even for the scripture reading. Like in my church, we do like a lot of like, I would say ritualistic stuff and sayings, mantras, whatever you want to call it. So like we do the Apostles' Creed, we do the Decalogue, we do the Affirmation of Faith. So it's stuff that we say every single Sunday that could be like, for young people, it's annoying. Like for me, even as a millennial, like we got to do it every Sunday, bro. Like every Sunday, like we get it. We know it. Like we can't change it up. But like every encounter between text and reader is full of energy. So what kind of energy is given off when you do it? So this is not, or at least need not be, an explosion that destroys, but rather a generative, life-giving burst. So that's the question. Like, are you getting that life giving burst, that generative burst? And like Justin was saying, you know, oh, Justin, I wondered if you have anything to say about this picture, because I try to Google what it looked like too, and this is what I was seeing coming back to me.
Mm-hmm.
What it actually looks like.
Yeah,
do you agree with that? Like, this is what an atomic particle collision looks like.
I've seen stuff like the bottom right. I can't say I know much about the other stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think the top left. Yeah, for the top left, like you see all those like wavy stuff. That's because like light particles are like, they're waves and they're also particles. So they're like not one or the other. So it's like, it's very complicated to observe them. That's why we kind of have to collide them in order to like understand their function better. But yeah, that's why some of the particles are wavy like that.
Okay. But yeah, I like, you know, I was confused at the beginning of the video when we were talking about the Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm.
But you really brought it home. Like, basically, like with the Northern Lights, like in order for the lights to look like this and come off like this, it has to have that atomic particle collision. And then it's multiple collisions making this, right, Justin? Like a lot. A whole lot. So, man, like this is what our lives can look like when we really allow scripture to change us, when we really allow scripture to be what scripture is, right? If we really allow what God says to rule over our lives and be submissive and obedient to it, like this is what it looks like. Like we become one with the text, become one with God, right? Because when God speaks, it's him speaking. Like that's what one of my seminary professors said. She asked a question, I think it was her, and I think even the other guy asked it. They asked, you know, what does it mean? Yeah, she asked this. She said, what does it mean when we say God's word? What does it mean when we say God's word? A lot of everybody was saying, you know, it's just the Bible, you know, it's instruction, you know, and I was like, I opened my mouth, Justin, and I know you're thinking the same thing. That would be a good video. I said, God's word, I said, that entails a lot of things, because it's God, right? Like, it's God's word. Like, when somebody speaks, it's their word talking, right? That's what the Bible is. We already said that. It's God breathed. That's what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. It's for inspiration, you know, reproach, correction, guidance. Like Book of Proverbs says, like, it's not limited to just being one thing. It doesn't just have one effect. It has a lot of effects. That just like the Northern Lights, There's a lot of collisions going on in different ways. And you said this picture gives it off the best, right? Because there's so many collisions coming in different angles and different directions, right?
Mm, yeah.
Coming from every place, everywhere. That's life. Like, like we got, just think of all these are people, right? Like And like, we're all atoms, right? Because we are. And like, when God does his work within us and in us, all over the earth, we should be having atomic particle collisions throughout the whole entire world, coming off looking like this, the light of the world, right? Mm-hmm. And all of us should continually be having so many collisions with the spirit, so many collisions with the text in a good way, right? That we start to shine brighter, have it become even more like the Northern Lights. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like to come off as this kind of beauty, like that's what I was trying to say. Like when you have that many interactions with the spirit in a good way, with the text, you can look, your life could look even more beautiful, right? Your relationship with God could look even more beautiful. Your experience with God can be even more beautiful because everybody's focused on looks. Forget looks. I mean, like, what you actually are on this earth, man, can look like this, right? We can be giving off this kind of energy, right? That is a beautiful thing. Like this is,
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, Justin, that was so powerful that you said that and, like, really helped me to see that, like, because that's what God wants from us, man. Like, all of us, like, we should be having, we're the light of the world, man. Light has a lot of functions on this earth, just like salt. Like, I only named one function that salt has. I mean, salt gives flavor, right? But what does light do? Light does a lot of things too. Light can give, it can give you warmth. It can give you heat. Light comes in different sizes and sources and everything. You like, you know, like the sun, lamps, light bulbs, flashlights, you know, everything. I think even some stuff just give off light, I think. Like reflect light. I can't think of anything like that right now. Like the moon, which it is light, but but yeah, you guys get what I'm saying. Like, man, like God is speaking through creation like crazy. That's a playlist me and Justin have on my YouTube channel. We talk about a lot. So yeah, Justin, you had anything else, man? I'll let you take it away, Mr. Scientist, man. This is your video, man.
Man, no, I feel like we hit. Man, I'm so glad you had like some of those slides though. Because it just reemphasized what I'm saying. I don't have anything new. But yeah, I do want it to be, I guess my two major points is like, yeah, when we read scripture, it is a very dynamic process. Like that, we don't get anything if we're like static about it or we don't incorporate it or test it in our lives. Because like particle collision is an experiment. We're constantly trying to figure out life. And that's what the scripture does, is it helps us find, understand our identity in God more. Mm-hmm. But I also want to say, like, collision is not a destructive thing. Like, Jesus used it. Jesus was able to, like, have a dynamic approach to scripture by showing the light and the beauty from it. Like, the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, like, that's how people should see us, or that's how people should see the light of the kingdom. They shouldn't see, like, division or schisms because we're trying to have a dynamic approach to it. They should be like seeing how we're different from the world and like why that's so appealing.
Dang, man, that's powerful, man. That's a good way to end the video, man. I'm done. You good?
Man, this, I like this video though. That was I really like the book. I'm gonna have to like look that up later.
Yeah, like there's another one. As you guys know, Justin's a scientist. I mean, I'm a computer scientist with just computers. Justin's an actual scientist. That's why they call him Einstein, man. That's his nickname. Just let you guys know. So, yeah, like Justin, we had another video for you actually. Like Vincent, he wanted to do a video on is the earth flat or is the earth round? And he wanted to know from a biblical standpoint. Yeah. Like it, and I was like, yeah, I think Justin got that. Like, so so if you want to do that video, we can, like, another time.
Yeah, that'd be with him. Because I won't get into the video now, but I think like science and I think science and Genesis fit together perfectly. Yeah. Like nowadays people think science and religion are separate, but like when you have the times of like Isaac Newton or Galileo, like they saw science as like the great canvas that God made creation on. Mm-hmm. It's like the separation of the two is like very recent. I think science is like shows off the beauty of the world, just like the Northern Lights. Like you see the science behind like how God made creation. But anyway, that's for another time.
Yeah, yeah, but that's why I said that, because guys, yeah, we got two scientists here, basically, man. Like, I love science. I've always been good at science, Justin too. And like, me and him have done a lot of videos on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, on, you know, science topics and stuff like that. So we got a lot more coming with you guys, because I want to utilize Justin's ability as a scientist. So he got away more than me. You just saw it on today's video with atomic particle collisions, when he was able to break that down like crazy. So on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, this video we just did will be on this playlist as well. You know, God speaks through creation. Like, we have done a lot of videos on this, how God is talking through creation, saying how he works and operates in this world and with us and with everything through creation, right? We got to pay attention to what's around us, right? Because God's glory is everywhere. It can be seen in anyone, anywhere, in anything, because he created everything, right? So, yeah, man. So, like I said, on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, if you like this video, go to this playlist right here. We're going to have way more videos in the future on just books we've been reviewing or books we've been breaking down. So that's that playlist. The other playlist is Anything I Learned in Seminary School. I'm pretty much going to do a video on. There'll be a lot of videos, so we'll see. I just got a lot going on, guys. All right, and then also, yeah, let me show you all my on my social media pages. Here go all my social media pages. I'm everywhere. Have the best social media pages ever. Haven't posted on Instagram in like 2 weeks because the freaking Instagram police suck so bad. I was about to say something else. But all right, so yeah, Trouble Don't Last is my Instagram page, TikTok, Threads, Snap, X, Twitter, right? Facebook, LinkedIn, Sean Christopher Jenkins. You got any questions, you can DM me and Justin on our Facebook page of Sean Christopher Jenkins. Justin's Facebook page is Justin Lee Howell. You can DM us if you got any questions. Justin's YouTube channel is Chaplain's Log. So after you subscribe to our YouTube channel, make sure to click the bell right here that you see so you're notified anytime we upload another video. And then also make sure to like, comment, and share on all our videos. If you watch all of our videos, man, you will help our pages tremendously grow. If you share and comment, like, and do all those things, you will help our pages tremendously grow so we can hit you guys with even more videos, because it'll be great to do these videos for a living and for our work and stuff like that, because then we can hit you guys with even more videos. So, all right, guys, you guys have a great one. Have a great rest of your weekend. I'll see if I can hit you guys with another video. Justin, he has an obligation to go to, so we'll see you guys later. And we're matching. We're gonna match every video, Justin, by the way.
I feel the last two videos we matched. Yeah, last time was on purpose. This time was a coincidence.
Yeah, for now on, we're matching every video. Because, like, just I like matching that. Like,
oh, yeah. Actually, I like that, too, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Keep the theme going.
Right. All right, guys. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Stay blessed.